Welcome back to another episode of the Double or Nothing podcast. We have NFL Week 17, special Christmas edition of the podcast this week. Just recapping from last week, do you remember how you did? I know you started off real strong.
Yeah, I started off unbelievable, made a video and fell apart.
You and I were texting, like, if I go 16-0.
Dude, I mean, I was like, I don't even know. I was doing that little TikTok stream. I'm like, I don't even know what I'm allowed to say on here, but like, if I go 16-0, I'm going to jump off the building. This is the first week I didn't put in a parlay.
No.
With all my podcast picks, which I do every week, but I forgot because I had the Saturday games, right? Yeah, so it threw me off.
Yeah.
And then once the Saturday games went and I was 3-0, I was like, I'm not going to do the rest because it's just not going to be worth the payout. So I was like, screw it. I'm not going to do it. Every week I put in for $100 to basically win $1 million. And I started off from Thursday, the Saturday games, all the way through the 1 o'clock games on Sunday. I was 10-0. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. But I fell apart. I wound up finishing up the week 11-4-1.
Yeah, I was 9-6 and or yeah, not 9-6 or nine, and how many games are there? 16.
There were 16
yeah,
games.
Yeah, so 9-6-1. That would be 16.
We pushed on the Minnesota game, which in fairness, if we were betting the Minnesota game, it closed at 2.5.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
unless, I get it. I'm just saying, like, the Minnesota game was a push, but we were on the right side of that.
Yeah. There's always some bad beats, you know. Like you took the Commanders, worked out great for you. I took the Eagles and Devonta Smith drops a
easy first down. 100%.
It's like, man.
Yeah, no, there's plenty of things that took place. Like, even, like, Miami shouldn't have scored that touchdown
late in the game to give us the over.
That gave us the over.
Yeah.
Like, we missed the over. I missed the over in the Bills game by 1 point, 45.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah, so it's like it ended 45. The Patriots started out 14-0. I was like, oh, this is perfect. Bills are going to make a roaring comeback. Over hits, no problem.
Yeah.
Missed it by 1 point. So, whatever. Long story short is we had really, really good weeks.
It's been a good little stretch here. I know, like, I missed the 1 week because I was away. The week before that, I was like 11-1.
Dude, I think
it's been like a good run to end the year.
Dude, I think I've had like 1 week under 500 in past like 6 weeks, dude.
It's like the worst now is 500. I could be setting us up for failure at this point.
No. We're going to kill it.
We have a weird slate of games again this week with games on Christmas Day, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So we'll jump right into it. First game, we have the Kansas City Chiefs are at the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers are +3, over under 43.5. Looks like Pickens is going to be back.
Yeah, obviously Steelers at home getting points seems like a pretty, pretty solid play here. But I'm not going to do it. I'm gonna take the Chiefs -3. I went against the classic Steelers narrative last week with the Ravens never really playing that well. Mike Tomlin getting points in the division game over a field goal, was getting 6.5 points, and the Ravens crushed them. So I don't know. I know they didn't have Pickens. I know they didn't have Watt, right?
Yeah. Well, Watt. I think Watt did play. No, but I know their cornerback Joey Porter is going to miss some time too.
I just think Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes. On Christmas Day, like, I like him on national television. Like, I know it's going to be a Netflix game, maybe, right?
Yeah, still. But
who doesn't have Netflix?
Everyone's going to be watching.
Who doesn't have
Let's
Netflix?
Be honest. But, whoever house you're going to on Christmas Day.
I like when you put Mahomes on that kind of stage, it just only be laying 3 points. I'm going to take it all day long. So give me the Chiefs -3.
I have to take him with you. I'm going to be honest. Pittsburgh's defense has been, like, not great the last couple weeks. And now they got more banged-up injuries. Every week it seems like they're giving up 30. I mean, this was something they can lean on. And Derrick Henry just torched them.
Dude, 162 yards is crazy.
At some point, I know they'll turn it around. But, I mean, they've just been getting bullied lately. I hate it because I do like Pittsburgh. I like Tomlin and them, but I'm going to have to go with KC too. It looks off with them right now.
Yeah.
Looks like they're taking a step back. So give us Patrick Mahomes in prime time.
I agree.
Second game, another Netflix game. on Christmas Day is the Baltimore Ravens at the Houston Texans. Texans are +5.5, over under 46.5.
This is the same thing for me. Like, maybe you want to lean over just because you think the Texans are going to have some fight in them after Tank Dell goes down. You know, team's going to try to rally together towards the end of the season. They're kind of like hanging on by a thread, 9-6. But I don't think so. I think Lamar Jackson is playing unbelievable football. I've been kind of on that. Everyone's kind of tipping the cap to Josh Allen too early on the MVP run, and it's starting to come to fruition a little bit, because Josh Allen had an absolute dogfight with the Patriots, and Lamar Jackson went out and threw 3 touchdowns and thrashed the Steelers. So,
well, you see Josh Allen, like, chicken up a little wrist injury the other day in, like, late in the Patriots game.
Yeah.
And he threw a ball that like no one tipped, no one anything. He just threw it and it just shot straight up in the air.
Yeah.
And then after that, it was just on the sideline, like, having to, like, prep. So now, like you said, with the MVP thing, it's like, he plays the Jets this week, and then he might not have to play the last week of the year, where, like, Lamar gets this primetime game and then another primetime game next week.
And everyone kept saying record, and it's just like, dude, dead in the years. Ravens might have a better record than the Bills.
You never know. They could.
Like, they're one game off, right?
I think I think
the Bills are 11-3?
11-3? No, don't they have 3 losses? I don't know. I'll look it up real quick while you keep talking about the game.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Well, long story short, that's a conversation for another day. But, but I mean, the Baltimore Ravens and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, they're 12-3.
Are 2 teams I feel confident betting in when, you know, the world's watching. Lamar Jackson in a big regular season primetime football game. Like, I'm just not going to go against it, especially not to a Texans team that's pretty hurt right now and just hasn't been playing great football.
Their defense has been trying to keep them in these games. I mean,
yeah, listen, I think the Texans are good, but the Texans have definitely taken a step back from what the nation thought they were coming in.
People had them going to Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, and I wasn't far behind that thought process. Like, I really did think that they were a stacked football team. But if they made it,
I'd be shocked.
Yeah, exactly. Just, we said that, though. It takes time to figure out how to play together. They got riddled with injuries. Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Mixon was out here and there. So, like I said, I think this is a pretty easy game here. I could look like an idiot, and the Texans could have an incredible game and bounce back in a good way. But I'm going to take the Ravens -5.5 pretty easily here.
Yeah, me too. It's too hard to pick, honestly, against them. I mean, they're just, like, literally, they can move the ball on anyone, so it doesn't really matter. Now, Houston's got to find another weapon outside of Nico Collins to try to get the ball to. I know they have Joe Mixon, who didn't have a good game last week either, but Baltimore, this kind of reminds me of their playoff game last year. You know, these two teams play each other in the playoffs, and Baltimore was laying like 10, and everyone jumped all over the Texans, and Baltimore steamrolled them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a big wake-up call. The Texans are a solid team, but like you said, it takes a while to gel, and Lamar's just a regular season bully. Yeah. So, and this is him on Christmas, where he can showcase, where he can be the MVP. I just struggle to see Stroud getting up for that big moment. I really do.
I mean, yeah, no, I agree. I agree 100%. I think Stroud has, I think the one thing that can carry them over is Stroud.
I think
if he flips a switch, you know, just watch his best friend snap his leg in half.
I know.
You know, I mean, they definitely have a lot to play for. I mean, they're playing for just a lot. I feel like there's a lot of emotion in the locker room. So I could see them getting fired up for this game. I could see them being ready to play football, coming out and having an exciting game. I just don't think they can keep up with the Ravens regardless of what their level is.
Yeah, I agree. All right, that'll do it for the Christmas games. With the Thursday night game is the Seattle Seahawks at the Chicago Bears. Seattle is -3.5, over under 43.5.
Yeah, this is Seahawks -3.5. Like,
we're just,
you know, I mean, this is just so easy. I said this last week. How is this spread not 15 points? And the Lions beat the piss out of them. The Bears are horrible. Like, when are we going to get on this? Like, all these guys, they comment all on every post. Yeah, okay.
They're
last time
hard,
it was a 3-point game. But they didn't use the timeout. If they used that timeout properly, it's all this crazy stuff. It's like,
That scared me off some teasers with the Lions. Yeah. I was asking Shane. I was like, dude, a little afraid to put the Lions. He's like, dude, come on. I'm like, last time it was a 3-point game. And
dude, they're like putting this up in the comments. The Bears stink. I saw that coming a mile away. I told Shane if I was still in the swing of things, that would have been huge points bet, like all over the Lions. So in this same situation, am I saying the Seahawks are the Lions? No, I'm not. But the Seahawks are head over heels better than the Bears. So I think that they fucking beat the shit out of them too. I don't think there's anybody who doesn't have the ability to beat up on the Bears. So 3.5 seems like a no-brainer. Seahawks all day.
I'm going to go over 43.5 just to stray off here. Mm-hmm. Covered last week because Caleb Williams has turned into Mr. Garbage Time, where it's just like after they're getting blown out, he'll put up like one or two garbage time scores at the end of the game. And 43.5 just isn't that high for a Seahawks offense, who I think is pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? If they are winning big, then I just expect the Bears to somehow score late points and make the game not look as bad as it actually is. You know, that's the difference if you watch a game or you just watch the box score, you know. But I see what you're saying. Like, it should almost be an auto fade every time the Bears play, but never know. You expect them sometime or another to turn it around, but it doesn't seem like that's the case.
Dude, they're very similar to the Jets. They're very similar to the Jets, and, like, you look at their roster, and you're like, wow, they should be pretty good. And then,
should
like,
be great.
Every single week, they just find incredible new ways to lose. Like, the Jets, I don't think, punted last week. They didn't score 10 points.
First time in history. Team name punt. Like,
they're such similar football teams. It's just like disastrous organizations. Just disastrous. So
loser organizations is what it is.
Yeah.
At least the Bears had a bigger run than the Jets when they were great. But now they're just cursed.
Right now they're just you cannot. There's nobody on the planet that should be bad money on the Chicago Bears. I don't care if they win this football game. Nobody going into this football game should have any serious money on the Chicago Bears.
I always like those. If you add 3 points to each side, or if you take away 3 points to each side of the line, what still seems more realistic? Would it be Chicago to win the game outright, or Seattle -6? What's more believable?
No.
Seattle -6.
If this game was -6.5, it wouldn't change. It wouldn't even be a hiccup. It would be nothing. It would be like, oh, that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah. All right, we're moving on to the Saturday games, the noon slot. The New England Patriots are hosting the Los Angeles Chargers. New England is +4.5, over under 43.5.
Wow.
Yeah, tough.
This is one of those things where I don't think that the Patriots really – I don't think the Patriots are going to win this football game. I just don't. I don't really see it happening. But for whatever reason, I really like Drake May.
He's really good.
I know, but it's like – I keep saying it, and he just, like, I don't know if it's the team or what, but, like, I say it, and I say it, and I say it, and they just, like, never find a way to even really be close in these games. It's weird.
They just, you know what, like, against the Bills, they're doing fine. Ramondre Stevenson fumbles twice.
Yeah.
In their own territory, you know? And it's like, he throws a pass to, I forget who the other guy was, or maybe it was last week, but, like, guy just went right through his hands and drops it, and then it gets picked. It's like, their wide receiving core is terrible. They did no favors.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, I feel like the narrative of me, like, being like, oh, 4.5 with Drake May and the Patriots in Foxborough, which is pretty – you know what? I'm gonna take the Patriots. I'm going to take the Patriots +4.5 because L.A. is traveling
the
way to East Coast. They're going to play in
– it's going to be cold.
It's going to be freezing cold in Foxborough. Drake May's played pretty well, so I'm just going to roll with the fact that they're going to click and he's going to figure it out and have one of these standout games sooner than later. But, yeah, I don't love that pick because I could easily see the Chargers rolling the Patriots here.
I know. The Chargers offense is what scares me. I know they did really well against Denver last week, but I don't know. I just feel like New England somehow just like whether they'll score late and cover this, you know? Like, it's either
4.5 is what's pushing me. Like, if this was 3,
I'd
be
rolling. They're either going to lose by 3 or lose by 7. Like, and it's going to be like, it depends if they score a touchdown at the end of the game to lose by 3 or they kick a field goal to lose by 7.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of where I'm at. But I'll take the home team +4.5, too. Maybe they want to play spoiler a little bit because I think the team is still playing hard.
Yeah, of course.
And the fans are still really excited to get to go see Drake May every week, so... But yeah, we're both on the same page there. Next up, we have, this is a huge game, Denver Broncos at the Cincinnati Bengals. I have Denver +3.5, over under 49.5. Huge over under.
Yeah, huge over under.
Huge.
Bengals might get there on their own. Bengals are on a mission right now, and I've been saying it for weeks now. When their chances were sub 5% on like the actual ESPN prediction thing poll, I was saying Bengals are going to the playoffs. Like, I think it was just destined for Joe Burrow and this Bengals team to sneak into the playoffs. So for me, the way he's playing, I think they need to win this game. Period.
This is their playoffs.
Like,
if Denver wins one game,
that's it.
They're
over.
And they play the Bengals, and then next week they play the Chiefs.
I know, and the Chiefs are probably going to bench everybody.
No, they can play spoiler. This was the good thing with the NFL now is like the Chiefs, since they have the bye week going into the playoffs, Andy Reid doesn't like giving the guys too much time off.
Yeah, but the problem is they're playing, it'll be their opponent.
What do you mean? Oh, like who they play?
Like, yeah.
No, I thought if the Bengals make it in, they would play the Bills.
Yeah, but I'm saying that they'll go on. Like, they don't want the Bengals in the playoffs. You think Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid want the Bengals in the playoffs?
I don't know. I don't really know if they're afraid of them
right now. I think they probably are a little bit. The only guy who's got Mahomes' number. It's the only guy. Yeah.
I still think they're going to try to win. Like, the Chiefs are still
going to I'm not saying they're going to try to win. I'm just saying I don't think that they're as invested in keeping their starters. I think they'd be like, hey, we got the one seed locked up.
I think Andy Reid would smile ear to ear if he got Sean Payton kicked out.
Yeah.
I'm saying division
opponent.
It might be true.
Either way, I think it's going to be a tough road for the Bengals, but I've been on that train for a long time.
I think they're just
destined to get there. So give me the Bengals in what I think could be just a dominant display by Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. I think this could be another one of those weeks where you turn it on. Joey B has got 4 or 5 touchdowns, 380 yards, and Ja'Marr Chase has got 220 of it. So give me the Bengals all day here.
I'm going to go over 49.5. I know it's a high number, but the Bengals offense is so good and their defense is just so bad. So
yeah.
Denver actually against Chargers last week put up a good amount of points. So I think they can move the ball a little bit. I still think Cincinnati's going to get 30 plus on their own.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. Not a question.
So just a very off. So you're going to do Cincinnati -3.5?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And whatever the team total is for the Bengals, just bet it over. I don't even know what it is.
Actually, let's see what that is. Their team total touchdowns over under is 3.5.
That's lock.
Lock. I love that. All right. The Saturday night game, we have the Arizona Cardinals at the LA Rams. Rams are -5.5, over under 48.5. Don't know if James Conner is playing. Probably not. Cardinals eliminated from the playoffs last week.
Yeah, this is one of those tricky ones where you think all day long this should be the Rams because, you know, the Cardinals don't really have much they're playing for. But I guess, like you said, a lot of these teams, you see it every year, teams that are eliminated come out and beat teams they're not supposed to beat. So it's
that same story. This would be so Kyler Murray if he came out and beat them when it doesn't matter.
When it doesn't matter. Exactly. I agree. It feels like that kind of way, but Give me the Rams in -6. I mean, I feel the same way about the Bengals that I do about the Rams. They were my two sleeper picks last week when we did sleeper picks, or the week before, whatever week we wound up.
Yeah, last week,
sleeper
week
picks.
Yep.
So I think the Rams are on just as much of a mission as the Bengals are. I think that they're kind of disrespected, not talked about, and I think that they're an absolute contender to go all the way. So when they're fully healthy and they're firing on all cylinders, I don't know if there's a team in football that could take them out. So give me the Rams -6, big spot. Matt Stafford, I think, goes out, makes a statement, and says, hey, we're here to stay. So I think they win this game by a touchdown or more.
I'm going to go with under 48.5. I just have real concerns about, like, how the Cardinals were even going to come out in this game, to be honest with you. But the Rams' defense has been awesome the last couple weeks. Say what you want. I know they beat the Jets, but they held the Jets to 9 points. The Jets were scoring consistently 20-plus every single week.
Well, they needed that because they did give up 40-plus against the Bills, but I know it's the Bills.
I know it's the Bills. But yeah, a little different against the 49ers. It was a rain game. They only gave up 6 that game.
Yeah.
So it's Maybe they're turning the corner, but their offense hasn't looked that great the last 2 weeks either. But I'm going to take the under 48.5. I think their defense comes out strong, and the Cardinals, I think, just
not a bad play.
Lay an egg, honestly. I would be shocked because it's how much James Conner meant to the Cardinals can't be stated enough. I mean, at halftime, I think he had 160 all-purpose yards against the Panthers. So if he doesn't play, I don't know if Kyler can do it on his own, to be honest with you. All right, how are we doing on time here? We have 9 minutes left. Moving. All right, we're on to the Sunday games. 1 o'clock, the New York Jets are at the Buffalo Bills. The Jets are +9.5, over under 46.5.
I'd buy a half a point. I'd take the Jets at 10.
I think if you could wait, you'll get them at 10.
Yeah, so either way, I mean, if I was betting this game, I would buy the Jets to 10, but either way, I think it'll get to 10 on its own just because I think a lot of people are on the Bills. But Josh Allen struggles against the Jets, man.
Always.
I mean, it's like basically his kryptonite. I mean, he just never really plays well against the Jets. And
if this wrist injury is real, I mean, I would have some concern.
He struggled against the Patriots last week. A lot of people might think it's a good bounce back spot for them, but I know the Jets are a little bit of a mess. You got Aaron Rodgers playing the blame game in every press conference, talking about how guys aren't prepared and how guys aren't, you know, willing to be out there.
It's like, who wants to be here next year?
Yeah, pretty much taking shots at Garrett Wilson in the press conference. So, but him and Davante Adams have been playing really good football, and I think that the Jets are going to put up a big fight here. I think that they would like to knock the Bills off their high horse here. So give me the Jets, and I would buy it to 10 points. Give me the Jets +10 here, and I think that the Jets have a possibility of maybe even scraping out of here with a win. I mean,
don't get me excited.
I'm serious. I'm serious. I think he struggles that much against the Jets, so I'll take the Jets +10 here.
I'm going to go with the under 46.5, a little different play. I do like the like you said, like the +10. Looking at the weather in Buffalo on Sunday, 51 degrees, which is really warm for Buffalo, but 80% chance of rain, wind 20 miles per hour.
Yeah, it's a tough game.
So that's just a classic game in Buffalo, but when you're laying double digits, you like that. So, and if you like the under, then you should like that. So I'm going to take the under 46 just to have a little different pick from Dell there as well. So you're doing 10, and I'm doing under 46.5. All right, next game. Wow. The Tennessee Titans at the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jags are -1.5, over under 40.5.
God. I mean, I took the over 39.5 in the similar game with the Raiders and them last week, and I wanted to lean Raiders. I should have. But I didn't.
I should have too.
I didn't. And I
believed in Mac Jones too much.
Yeah, I took the over, and it was just a shitty football game. It really was a shitty football game.
These two
game.
Teams played 2 weeks ago. I think it was 12-9 or something, or 12-6.
Yeah.
Or three
I mean,
ago.
At this point, two teams who at this point, both teams should be trying to lose. So give me the under. I'll take the under here. I don't really like it. I hate this football game. So.
Yeah, this is a horrendous football game.
So bad. I just don't see either team playing that hard.
Is Mason Rudolph playing? Let's see.
If he is, I like the under even more. Just because Will Levis, I don't think, is as good, but I think Will Levis is guaranteed a pick six a week.
Yeah, he is. I'm going to go with the under, too. I went with the under last week in the Tennessee game, and it bit me. So maybe I'm just like, you know, like a little nervous. But Jonathan Taylor just had a game and a half, which I don't think the Jacksonville Jaguars were just even capable of.
Yeah, no, me neither. So give me the under here.
We're both going under 40.5 or 41. it's just like literally these teams played 2 weeks ago, and they didn't even get over combined 20. So. We could look real stupid, but there's no other play here. Too many weeks in a row, we see the Jags just do nothing.
You can't confidently sit up here and pick a side like, oh, this is why I'm picking X, Y, or Z. Like, there's no way. So you just got to take the under. Two garbage teams.
Next up, we got the Las Vegas Raiders at the New Orleans Saints. The Saints are -1, over under 39.5.
I'll take the Saints -1. I know they just got thrashed last night. Like
just
that was
another.
An absolute annihilation. But I do think you had it pegged correctly with the outdoor weather being freezing cold. Team's not used to it. They get to go back home, play in the dome. I think they're a different team in the dome. I think Spencer Rattler didn't look great, but I know he's got a lot to play for if he wants to kind of take that starting job moving forward once Derek Carr's out of there. So I think he has more motivation than maybe the Raiders do. The Raiders just won. If they keep winning these meaningless football games down the stretch, they're going to
They're all in for it, though.
They're going to ruin their draft spot.
They just went from 1-6.
I know. So I'm just on the thought process of them maybe trying to keep some sort of a better draft pick going and the Saints getting back inside the dome. I think a lot of people might roll Raiders here just because of how bad the Saints played last night. But I'm going to take the Saints minus one here. I don't really, same thing. Kind of a meaningless game. Maybe you should go under, but
I'll take I'm going to go under. 39.5. Yeah, I don't know if Kamara's playing. If it was, I would be right there with you.
Yeah.
Because I think he's good enough to make like a significant difference in a game like this, especially for Rattler. Las Vegas seems to still be playing real hard. Antonio Pierce has those guys trying. I just think O'Connell stinks. They're probably not even capable of scoring 20 points.
So yeah, I agree.
They should be playing for draft picks, but that's just not how players and coaches coach. So I'll take the under as well. Yeah, we got time for one more. Carolina Panthers are at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Buccaneers are -8, over under 49.5.
Oh, man. This is a tough one, man.
Begging me to take the Panthers.
I know, which makes me pretty nervous. Which makes me pretty nervous
after watching. You know, it's like watching Tampa Bay Sunday night. It's like, ooh,
but it's like 8-7. I mean, dude, the Bucs need this game like blood because they're not going to get the wild card spot. You know, they're not going to get the wild card spot. So they need to win this game. They need to win a division. I think they lost to the Falcons both games.
They did, yeah.
So they don't even control their own destiny.
No, yeah. They lost that when they just... They control their
own destiny. So Sunday night. I can't believe they lost last week. Who'd they play last week?
Dallas,
yeah. I can't believe that they lost in that prime time, especially the way they did.
Their defense just looked horrible.
Wow, this is a really, really stupid pick. But give me Baker Mayfield and the Bucs -8. I mean, it's a horrible pick because Bryce Young's been playing really good. He does not deserve, like, they should not be laying 8 points here. But it's still, the line is so off.
It seems
that
like
it has
it's
to be right.
It seems like a trap game, vice versa. These guys just played 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks, had to go into overtime.
Yeah. And the Panthers missed a few field goals. Should have iced the game. Yeah. So this line is so wrong that it's got to be right. It's got to be right. Like, it's so wrong.
I'm falling for the draft. I'm taking Carolina +8. I can't. I just, their offense has just been so good.
I can't even believe they're laying 8, and that's why I'm taking them. Bucks -8.
The Bucks defense just has – Carolina's defense stinks. The Bucks defense stinks. The over-under is 49.5, but I just physically have to take Carolina +8.
I understand it. It's like, whoever made this line, like – They're gonna make so much goddamn money, or they just tricked the entire everybody in America.
I do hope the Tampa Bay wins, honestly, but
Tampa Bay -8.
We also
hate
own
pick.
A little small stock in Bryce Young's resurgence here. So.
Yeah, listen, I think Bryce Young's been playing good football. So, but I'll take
Sunday 1 o'clock game, we're still on. We got the Dallas Cowboys at the Philadelphia Eagles. Dallas +9.5, over under 43.5. I have no idea if Jalen Hurts is playing. Yeah, no, he went to the concussion protocol. Weird line. If he wasn't playing, I would love Dallas.
Yeah, I love Dallas. This is another one. Line's not correct, but give me Dallas. I'll buy the half a point. Same thing I did in the Jets game. I'll buy Dallas up to 10. It's a half a point. You don't really love it at 9.5. I mean, you like it at 9.5, but like if you're that close to 10, it's probably going to go to 10. But
if Hurts, it's so weird. Like to me, like if this was Kenny Pickett starting this line, it should probably be 6.5 and not 9.
Yeah,
I don't. Maybe Hurts is playing, but you know,
dude, Dallas is playing good football.
Cooper Rush
has been playing good. The defense has been playing good. You know. They just knocked the Bucks off of a must-win game.
Yeah.
So
their offense looks to be good. It's because if I feel like he's like when in doubt, just throw to CeeDee Lamb.
Plus, it's like a division game. They have a chance to kick their rivals when they're down. I like Dallas here. Give me Dallas, and I'd buy the half a point. Give me Dallas to 10.
I'm going to go over 43.5. I think Dallas's offense has been really good the last couple weeks, and I know Philly can score some points. Even with Kenny Pickett, I know that Saquon's just going to run the ball like 30, 40 times this game if Kenny Pickett's starting. But even if then, Kenny Pickett went into that game against Commanders. It was 7-0, and they still ended with 30 points. So I think that proves your point about just the team in general is just really good.
Let's make one thing clear. The Eagles did not lose that game because of Kenny Pickett. They did not lose that game because of Kenny Pickett.
I was scared at first. Yeah. I was like, wow, 7-0, but Jalen Hurts is out. This could be like a...
Yeah. Listen, would they have won the game had he stayed in? I'm not saying that that's not true. They probably would have. But you know, Kenny Pickett did not take that game and throw it away for the Eagles.
Devonta Smith and Saquon lost that game. Saquon dropped that ball down the sideline.
The Eagles defense gave up 22 points in the fourth quarter to lose. That's so bad.
So bad.
That's so bad.
So Commanders, though, in the fourth. Just light it up.
Jane Daniels is my guy, dude.
Just light it up.
Jay Daniels coming through on every prop with 2 weeks left.
You show me that video of those guys arguing about this week or last week, Daniels put to bed the rookie of the year stuff. It's not Bo Nix. It's Daniels, and that's it.
It hasn't been Bo Nix. Even when Bo Nix was playing good, it wasn't Bo Nix.
They wanted to push that agenda a little bit a couple weeks ago.
And
just because of the team record.
To the point, I was starting to come around to the idea, not that he was rookie of the year, but that he was
conversation worthy.
That he was good, dude. Like, he was good. And, like, really, when you peel it back and you really start to look at everything, like, Bo Nix is doing what he's supposed to be doing as a rookie quarterback, winning football games, finding a way to win, using his legs to get first downs. But, like, he's not going out there and running this offense and picking apart defenses. Like, he's just kind of winging it and finding a way to win. And he's doing enough to win.
Their offense is literally on step for step with how they finished the year last year in terms of efficiency, scoring, yards per game, all that stuff. The only difference is their defense has just been unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean,
that is literally the only difference between last year and this year.
And, dude, like, you're comparing apples to oranges. Like, Jaden Daniels is a superstar.
Yeah.
Jaden Daniels is a superstar. Okay.
I'm sorry. I was dead wrong on Bo Nix. He actually has been very good. I thought he was going to be horrible, but he's doing fine. If they redrafted tomorrow and Denver had the first pick, they're taking Jaden Daniels.
He's not even close.
And that's really kind of what you have to.
Not even close.
That's what you got to ask yourself. Yeah. Who would you rather have if you did a redraft tomorrow? And to me, it's probably Daniels 1, Drake May 2.
Yeah, maybe, probably. Probably.
And then Bo Nix, then
Caleb.
Maybe Caleb. Then Penix and Caleb.
Dude, I know. Dude, Jaden Daniels is an absolute superstar.
Yeah, he's nuts. Like, Jaden Daniels, never saw this level.
Jaden Daniels is, dude, people are going to be pissed because everyone's going to be saying he's overrated going into next year. But, like, automatically, you got to start talking about him being a top 10 guy.
Yeah, I know.
He's unbelievable.
I mean, dude, they're 10-5 right now. They could legitimately end the year 11-12.
Dude, they can make a run. Like, they can make a run. Like, you're telling me they get into the playoffs as a wild card, like, and they play the Eagles, they don't have a chance to win? Of course they do. I know they just beat Kenny Pickett. It's not Jalen Hurts, but, like, they have a chance to win. Like, I think they can knock off the big dogs. Like,
I do too.
But
I would not be shocked to see them go in and beat anybody.
Yeah, me neither.
Like, the Lions' defense is not scaring me enough to be like, yeah, they'll definitely beat the Commanders. I don't know that.
Jaden Daniels threw 5 touchdown passes against an Eagles defense that has been dominant.
Oh, I think they were, like, one in the league.
And he ran for 80-plus yards. Like, the guy is a superstar.
I know. All right, next up. What are we on now? The last 1 o'clock game for Sunday, the Indianapolis Colts at the Giants. Colts -8, over under 40.5.
Yeah, this is a weird one. I mean, the Colts just laid a beating down on the Titans. They need it like blood too, because if they start slipping up, then the
Bengals.
The Bengals get in. Colts need to lose one more. So, in my opinion, I'm going to do what I should never do here, but seems like a big letdown spot for the Colts.
Don't
off a huge blowout. I need somebody to knock the Colts off for the Bengals to get in. So give me the Giants
Dude, I might fuck around on Sunday, throw the Giants money line in this, but I'm going to take the Giants in the eight. I'm going to take the Giants in the eight. I don't trust Indy to put together two good games in a row. And, you know, maybe the Giants come in here, knock somebody out of the playoffs, but give me the Giants in the eight. It's 8 points?
Yeah.
Give me Giants in the 8 points at home.
This is so ugly.
The Colts can't close out the season. Like, remember, I don't know, it wasn't last year. Maybe it was last year.
I just can't count on Richardson to have two good games in a row.
Remember when Gardner Minshew lost to, like, the Jaguars to, like, and they only needed to win outright, and they were, like, a good football team? I think it was – maybe it was Joe Flacco.
I think it was – it was Wentz. When Wentz was on the Colts. And they were, like, 12-point favorites against the Jags last game of the year and lost outright.
I don't know. I just get flashbacks of the Colts not being able to finish out the season. So, give me the Giants plus eight here.
I have no idea who to take here. I'm looking at the over-under. I'm like, I just watched the Giants score 7 points against the Falcons in a dome.
I know. But this is a Bengals getting the playoffs pick for me.
I know.
Give me the Giants plus eight.
Oh, man. I'm going to...
Under 40 seems like a play, too.
I know. That's where I'm going to go, under 40. I can't. I just watch... Like, the Falcons' defense isn't great, and the Giants literally scored 7 points. Drew Lock threw two pick sixes, a fumble.
Get Tommy Cutlets in the mix.
Yeah, you know what? Get Tommy Cutlets back in there. Just to get, like, the New York fans a little excited, the Italians. I'm going to go under 40.5. Don't love any of this, though, at all. I would be afraid to put Indy in a teaser. That's about, like, how much they scare me.
Yeah,
which makes no sense because the Giants are terrible. But all right, on to the 4 o'clock games. We have the Miami Dolphins at the Cleveland Browns. Miami -6.5, over under 40. Watching DTR.
I'm going to go Dolphins terrible. -6.5 here. DTR did have that incredible play where he almost, like, fell over three times and then sidearmed it for a first down on fourth. That was insane. But yeah. It does seem like the kid has a lot of athletic ability. It just, he can't put it together in the game situation.
Yeah.
He just seems like one of those guys who's got all the abilities but just doesn't really – can't put it together in game form to make it matter. So I think that the Browns are not going to score a lot of points here. So, but 40.5 is too low for Miami, but it's probably going to be freezing in Cleveland, if I had to guess.
And let's take a look, because you can't discount.
Yeah, I know. It's probably going to be freezing, but if anything, that would make me lean under more than it would Browns. So I think I'm just going to roll with Miami -6.5.
And I just can't even do that, because it's like Sunday, they're the 4 o'clock game. Looks like 20% area coverage of rain, 50 degrees, so...
Yeah, it's not going to be that bad. I mean, listen, I'm going to take Miami. I'm going to take Miami.
I'm going to take Miami, too.
I think that they'll have some pride to finish out the year. Like, they could still have a decent record. They could still end up 9-8, you know?
They can run the football even if things get muddied up a little bit. You know, it's not like Tyreek Hill's been lighting the world on fire in these games.
Here. Yeah.
Seems like Jonnu Smith is the go-to target for Tua now. And A-Chain is a beast.
A-Chain's very good. Very good. One of the most underrated running backs in football.
And actually, Miami's defense actually has been very good.
Yeah, I don't like this pick. I don't really like this game. But if it was Jameis, I'd take the 6.5.
Oh, me too.
DTR.
They're trying to.
Give me Miami -6.5.
Right. We have game of the week here. Green Bay Packers at the Minnesota Vikings. Vikings -1.5. Over under 48.5.
I'm going to roll Vikings -1.5. I know that the Packers just absolutely beat the piss out of the New Orleans Saints last night, and it was a clinic. I mean, it was just a bloodbath. But I don't really think it took – like, the offense didn't even have to do anything to win. Like, it was almost like the Saints just gave them the game, you know? And I don't think the Vikings are going to give them this game. No. And the Vikings are still fighting for a ton. They still have a chance to get the one seed. They're still right in the mix. So Vikings at home, I think a lot of people are just immediately... Dude, everybody who talks football thinks the Packers are just outright better than the Vikings. Everybody. Everybody who you talk to is like, Green Bay is... Everybody slotting Green Bay... In that contender spot, like that last spot outside, in the fifth spot. Like, this is a team that could go out and win the Super Bowl, which I don't necessarily disagree with. I think that they're really good. But if you're asking me, I put the Vikings in that spot before I put the Packers in that spot. So if they're at home with a chance to control the narrative of possibly getting the one seed. Like, I don't think they're going to drop this game. I think they're going to make a statement. They're going to prove to everybody that, hey, enough of this. Packers are better than us. We're a fake 11-2. Like, everyone thinks that their record is like, or what are they, 13-2.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks that it's like a fake record or whatever. No, they've gone out and they've done everything they're supposed to. And one of their losses was a fluky loss to the Detroit that, like, they kind of gave up in the final seconds. So I think that the Vikings are going to turn around here, and I think that they're going to show out against Jordan Love. I think Jordan Love's going to have a bad game, like I always do, and Vikings win this game.
Yeah, I just... This line says that they're even teams, and I just don't believe that to be true. I think Green Bay is still very good, but I think, like, this line should have been probably, like, 2.5.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think the Vikings right now are, like you said, they've been doing it week in and week out. So I picked them as, like, my sleeper. It's just technically not a sleeper pick. They have two losses
but
on the year.
But it is a sleeper pick because nobody thinks that they're that good.
I know, and it's crazy. Their defense is awesome. Their offense is unbelievable.
And everyone with this Sam Darnold, like, yeah, he's done what he's supposed to. Like,
he has,
you know,
34 touchdown passes.
He's done more than what he's supposed to.
You know what? Last Sunday, or this past Sunday, was huge. Like, my belief in Sam Darnold just went through the roof. Where Sunday in Seattle, Seattle's fighting like hell for a playoff spot, and Sam Darnold in the you know, one of the last drives of the game goes down and throws a touchdown pass. And,
yeah,
like, has to, you know, scramble for a big run on first down. Throws an absolute bomb to Justin Jefferson. It's like, this guy is just, you know what, like, he's answering all the questions. It's,
yeah,
like, can he show up in a big game? Yes. Can he go and play in an outside atmosphere and get the job
done? One of the
done?
Hardest, yes, places to play in the NFL.
Yeah. Like, I know it's just a dome game in their home, but it makes me... Like, Brian Flores, his defense, the Vikings as a
whole.
Kevin
O'Connell never gets talked about. He's one of the best coaches in the NFL. Like, Vikings
we have to
game.
Go Minnesota.
Yeah, you Vikings win this
to.
Game.
They're literally playing for the one seed. They control. Don't Minnesota control their own destiny?
Like, no.
Because if they beat the Lions next week, that would give the Lions three losses. And then Minnesota has two.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
So they went out. They get the one seed.
You actually are right. Yeah. Vikings win this football game. They have the hardest end of their year, but I think it's time that they prove to everybody, hey, like, we can fuck around and win the Super Bowl. So
I agree.
Vikings minus, what is it, 1.5?
1.5.
Vikings minus 1.5.
And the money line is literally minus 112. So
you got to take a money line. But but yeah, for the sake of the podcast, minus 1.5.
All right, we got the Atlanta Falcons at the Washington Commanders. Commanders are minus 4.5, over under 47.
This is the scariest line.
It really is.
Because the Falcons need this game. But you know what? I'm going to stick with the Bucs win the division. The Bucs are laying 8 against the Panthers in a game they need to win, in a game I think they're going to win. And the Falcons need this game just as bad. And I don't know. I think the way the Commanders are playing, it's a huge letdown spot for them, though. Just knocking off the Eagles.
It's huge because I think they clinched the playoffs, and this is about as well as they can do. Like that, like this. That, but
I'm taking Commanders minus 4.5. But I think this is a time for, you know, it's Jaden Daniels versus Michael Penix. It's like, you know, I don't see them dropping this game to the Falcons, but 4.5 is a scary line for a game that the Falcons need like blood. So
I know. And
I'm going to roll
with, well,
what's the over under?
47.
I like the over too, but I'm not going to take it. I'm going to take Commanders minus 4.5.
I'm going to take the over. I think everything you just said, I think they're both going to, I don't really know how great Michael Penix is. You know, when you play the Giants and your defense scores 2 touchdowns for you, it's like,
yeah.
They kind of just, but I do like their offense. It looks like he moves way better than Kirk. He's got a stronger arm than Kirk. They honestly would have scored another touchdown if Kyle Pitts could catch. I mean, he just dropped the ball, like, straight in his hands. That got, you know, intercepted. He, like, caught it and threw it to the Giants defender for some reason. Otherwise,
I saw a funny meme where it was like, what's with the Falcons and drafting black left-handed quarterbacks with one letter off of the male genitalia?
Who puts that together?
Dude, I started dying laughing when I saw that. I saw it was crazy.
The last time the Falcons had a left-handed quarterback, guess who it was? Like, Michael Vick.
Yeah, I know.
Penix could be great. I wanted the Jets.
Both named Michael, both black, both left-handed, and both one letter off the mail. That's hilarious.
I've literally seen some Falcons like fans, like, I don't even know if this is like like CGI or AI or whatever, where like they literally got the jersey that just said penis on it.
That's so funny.
Just for whatever reason. So give me the over 47. Dylan's taking Washington. Hopefully they just both show out. That would be a fun game to watch, honestly. It's Sunday night game too.
Yeah.
So 8:20. Last game of the week, and a strange line to me. I'm curious to see your thoughts. The Detroit Lions at the San Francisco 49ers. Detroit -3.5, over under 50.5.
Yeah. The only reason I don't see it being that strange is, like, the Lions do have a lot of defensive issues right now. And the 49ers are, I don't know. The 49ers, no matter how bad they play football, no matter what their record is, they're a scary football team. Yep. They're a scary football team, but I am going to take the Lions -3.5. It's a huge, huge game for them, because if they lose this, then, you know, they can't afford to lose this here because they know that the Vikings have the capabilities of beating the Packers. Yeah. And then it's a weird spot. It's a really, really weird spot, but I'm going to take the Lions -3.5. I just feel like they are just the most high-powered offense we've seen in a very long time. So they remind me of, like, that, like, Broncos team that was led by Peyton.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, the year before they won the Super Bowl.
They just remind me of that kind of offense where every time they step on the field, it's just like, dude, they're going to beat the shit out of the other team. Like, that's just what it feels like. And I can see the Lions having a very similar thing. Like, Lions get all the way there and, like, and lose, you know?
Yeah. You know what? Goff has answered a lot of questions, too. I mean, going into last week, it was like, oh, can he play outside of a dome in the winter? Like, well, he just went to Chicago and put up a zillion points.
Yeah.
So, he can definitely do it. I'm going to take Detroit here, too. San Francisco, they're just dead in the water right now. I mean, they put up an egg against Miami the other day. That was pathetic.
Yeah.
Their running back situation is not good.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just forcing Debo and Kittle, and Debo and Kittle both had great games last week, and it still just meant nothing.
Yeah.
So I don't think, Trent Williams? He's not going to play this week.
What's the over-under?
It's so high. It's 50.5.
I think the under's the play here.
I do too, but I'm just so afraid of the Lions.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I'm gonna take the Lions -3.5, but I like the under too. Yeah. I like the under, but I'm gonna take the Lions -3.5. It's a weird game.
Well, leading into that, because I saw this going around. Brock Purdy, what do you give him? What contract do you give him?
I'd give him a big one.
You'd give him like the Trevor Lawrence treatment? 55 to J Love, 60. I mean, what?
Well, J Love's getting 55.
Yeah, J Love's 55.
They're both, all three, Burrow, Love, and Lawrence are getting 55. Dak's getting 60. I think he's gonna want 60, and somebody's gonna pay it, right? I mean, think about it. Think about all the other guys who got the money, right? Like Trevor Lawrence, he's done nothing. He's won one playoff game. You know, yeah. He's who's the other guy? Jordan Love, 1-1 in the playoffs. The only guy who's getting $55 million a year who's done anything in the playoffs is Burrow. Lamar Jackson, what's he done in the playoffs?
Dak just got injured, so it's tough to say.
Dak just got 60, and he's done nothing in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think he's got two wins. You know?
So it's just one of those things where Jalen Hurts, like, since he signed the contract, what has he done in the playoffs? I think Jalen Hurts only has two playoff wins anyway. Because they got the bye
year. They got the bye. And then last year, they got smoked by Tampa Bay.
Yeah, so Jalen Hurts is what, 2-2, 2-1 in the playoffs? It's like all these guys making all this money. And then look at Brock Purdy.
He needs to take a home. Like, I understand, but, like, if you want to pay him, which he's going to ask for, and does he deserve? Maybe. But it's like if he has to know going into this how they perform this year, if he signs a contract of that size, this is what his average roster is going to be.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, maybe once McCaffrey is out of the way, they won't be able to pay running back $23 million this year. They won't be able, like right now they have Ayuk and they have Debo, right? But Debo seems to be on the decline. Kittle will be another year older. If he gets the money like this, their defense suffers. They just won't be able to pay people.
I agree. I agree with you, and I understand
that. It's a recipe
that.
For disaster.
It's just the problem is like when Brock Purdy's sitting there making $930,000 a year for years, taking his team to the Super Bowl.
I think you tag him till the wheels fall off. You just franchise tag him. You tag him, or you say take a hometown deal of 3 years or 4 years, whatever $40 to $45 million a year is. Say that's what you offer him. I wouldn't go over $45 million. You just can't. It spells disaster. Like you said, the playoff wins are right in front of you. I mean, look, these guys who get paid this much don't win.
Yeah, but if I'm him, I'm going in there with I've performed better than all these guys in the playoffs. I've gotten us all the way there, yeah. And I haven't been necessarily the reason we've lost any of these big games. Yeah. So I think Brock Purdy's going to get 60.
But would you give him 60 if you're the 49ers?
Yeah, probably.
You would?
Probably.
I don't think I would. Probably. And I like Brock. I think he's good. We both had him top 10 going into the year.
The market is now and what it's going to be moving forward that, like,
I think something's got to give. Yeah, something's got to give with them. I know that is the market.
But that's the market, and it's going to be that way. Remember how everybody lost their minds when Daniel Jones got $40 million?
And it was still terrible, and it still keeps going up.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, it was terrible then, and it's just like, you know, however, 2 years later, Dak's getting 60. Like, the next year, people are getting 55. Like, I know Daniel Jones was never worth the 40 to begin with, so that's not my argument. My argument is that, like, teams are going to pull the trigger on what-if guys because that's just the market. So
they don't want to lose him.
What are you going to do? You're gonna franchise tag him for a year and then pay him 68 a year and then franchise tag him another year and pay him 70? Like,
yeah, this gets so crazy.
It's just going to keep going up and up and up and up. So it's like, for me, I think you lock down Brock Purdy. I think he's done enough.
I think he's a good enough dude to be like, hey, you know what? I'll take 48. Like, maybe I won't take the 55. Maybe I'll do 48. You keep a good roster around me. They'll be able to afford an extra player, a lineman. It's like, I don't know, just watching him this year, it's not like he's played horrible, but he's definitely come down a peg to say, wow, when everything is not going perfect, he struggles.
But in fairness, it's beyond not going perfect. I mean, the 49ers have had some of the weirdest. They've had two players who have children, like kids, babies who have died off the field.
They've had
injuries. Brandon Ayuk goes out for the year. Debo's missed tons of games. Kittle's missed tons of games. McCaffrey's missed games.
And then the
offensive linemen
missed
games. Defensive players out for the year. Like, this is, which we saw coming in, they always have a lot of injuries.
That's the 49ers recipe is just injuries.
But this season that the 49ers have had
is
not on Brock Purdy's shoulders, in my opinion. I mean,
no,
maybe everyone will go nuts and be like, you're so quick to pull the trigger on Jalen Hurts and pull the trigger on Jordan Love, but then you're praising Brock Purdy. I'm not praising Brock Purdy, but I think Brock Purdy has done exactly what has been asked of him, and I think the team that's been put on the field has been way, way, way worse than what we all thought coming into the year. I mean, me and you kind of hit it out right on the head, but I think America thought the 49ers were going to be dominant, and I think that they could have been had they been healthy.
Yeah, definitely. Like, if he had McCaffrey, and Ayuk was struggling, but he would have formed into, you know, a better wide receiver.
Debo's off on and off the field. I know that's a normal thing, but Ayuk down for the year. Offensive linemen, defensive players. Kittle's missed a bunch of weeks.
I mean, 3 weeks ago, they literally, from the starters they had, they only had three defensive starters playing. That's out of the 11 that started in the Super Bowl last year. That is a whole new defense. That's a whole new team. When you're missing 8 guys out of 22 starters from offense and defense, 8 out of the 22, and that's not even to mention, like you said, McCaffrey and Ayuk. Literally, they were missing half the starters.
Yeah, but it's like the same story, right? It's just like everyone's saying, "Oh, you got to give McCarthy the swing," like for the Vikings, and it's just like if you can go get Sam Darnold for sub $50 million, and everyone was going nuts when I said that he's worth $48-50 million. Everyone's going nuts. Sam Darnold is worth $48-50 million. I don't care if he loses in the first round.
Gotta pay him. At this point.
I know if he wins, if he loses in the first round, the conversation becomes a lot more difficult. But if he goes out there,
it doesn't
and wins,
even. I mean, if he finishes this year, when throws 36 or 37 touchdown passes, over 4,000 yards, and they finish you know, with two or three losses, you would pray McCarthy even sniffs that type of success in the NFL.
I agree, but if he goes out and he throws three interceptions and they lose in a blowout in week one of the playoffs, like, yeah, then in his first playoff game, then I get it. Like, I get where the conversation gets brought back down to earth.
Yeah.
But if he goes out and wins one, two playoff games, it's like, Jesus Christ, dude. Like, we're going,
he's going
to the Super Bowl
if he wins two.
I know, if they get the one seed, yeah. But either way, like I said, so if you're telling me, hey, we're going to be paying guys like Sam Darnold, and we're going to, like, I think Brock Purdy is in that conversation. I think Sam Darnold, Brock Purdy, Baker Mayfield, mm-hmm, I think these guys are all top 15 guys. Like,
I would trade McCarthy if I was the Vikings.
Me,
listen,
too.
The Cardinals did it. Sometimes you just, you know, it sucks he got injured. You never got to see what he could have been. But sometimes you just got to be like, you know what? We found a guy. If we can get a high draft pick for this guy,
dude,
I think you just got to take it.
If I get a top five pick from the Raiders, see you later.
Yeah, what if you trade him and then, hey, and if you get another first-round draft pick from another team, then you're just helping, you know, whether you get a defensive player or an offensive lineman, you're just helping the team, the great team you already have.
If I'm the Vikings, I'm looking at teams like the Giants, teams like the Raiders, who are in the market for a quarterback. I'm looking for a draft pick.
Yeah, because I think out of the quarterbacks coming out this year, I mean, you have Cam Ward and you have Shador Sanders. And after that, to me, the list of quarterbacks really drops off. And you know there's 6-7 teams that need a quarterback bad.
Yeah, but so. I would definitely – I think the landing spots for McCarthy are going to be either Las Vegas or the Giants if the Vikings are in the market to trade.
I agree.
So, yeah. No, I like it. I'd pay to end the argument, I'd pay Brock Purdy.
I'd pay him up to 48. That's it. Do you have anything else, or do you want to wrap it up?
No. That's it. How much time we got?
A minute and 50.
All right. A minute and 40. So you want to give a definitive, I guess we could wait when the playoffs start, but right now, you could change it after next week. I might not even put it in, but what's your Super Bowl pick? Ooh. Super Bowl matchup, Super Bowl winner.
Oh, wow. This is tough. I'm going to ride with my Super Bowl matchup. I've said this for a long time. It's Eagles will be in the Super Bowl. 100%. Not 100 because I picked the Vikings. It's either Vikings or Eagles, but I'm going to say Eagles Super Bowl playing against. Oh, man, it's so lame. I'm not going to say the Chiefs. I'm going to say, who? The AFC is a tough one for me. I don't know why.
Buffalo, you think, gets there? Gets over the hump? Buffalo Eagles be a good one.
Lions Bengals.
Okay. I was just going to say the same thing.
No, you know what? I'm going to go with Baltimore Eagles.
Love that.
I think
Ravens
this
in
is
a
the
route.
Year, this is the year Lamar gets there.
I would love that, but I don't think it's going to happen. I would love that, though. I'm going to say 15 seconds. I'm going to say Kansas City plays the Rams, and Kansas City wins.
I like that. I would like that game, too.
Kansas City plays Matty Stafford, and Kansas City gets the dub.
Thanks for watching. Keep following us on all platforms, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. See y'all next week.